Amen. So here on this Pentecost Sunday, it's a great day in the church. We get to celebrate what it means for the coming of the Holy Spirit, that this promise that Jesus made to us, that we would have something even more powerful than he is. That's not our words, that's his words, right? And we get to this day, and so to kind of kick off this series that we're going to hold through June, we're going to be talking about heroes from the Bible, and our Vacation Bible School is themed around that, and they're going to be hearing about several of the heroes from the Bible and several of the heroic events from Scripture during Vacation Bible School, and so we're going to remind ourselves as a church about some of that too. And so as we jump in today, I want to ask you, who are some of your favorite superheroes? Don't jump to the heroes from the Bible just yet, but like, I don't know, I don't see many of you sitting around with comic books often, but if you're watching movies, if you're thinking about superheroes from your childhood or from your past, who are some of your favorite superheroes? Spider-Man. All right, that was emphatic, joint, and first. I am impressed. I wouldn't have picked Spider-Man to be the favorite, but that's good. Captain America, there you go. Wonder Woman. Superman.
Underdog.
That's a good one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other one was Adam Ant.
Was what?
Adam Ant.
Adam Ant. Yes. There's another good one. Yeah, nobody said Ant-Man, but yeah.
Dominic the Donkey.
Dominic the Donkey? I don't know that one. I'm going to ask not in this context later. Mighty Mouse, Mighty Mouse. Do-do-do-do. Yeah, absolutely. I loved Mighty Mouse. The what?
The Lone Ranger.
That's right. That's right. The Lone Ranger. The color version or the black and white version? All right. Okay. Just checking. I didn't know if you were a purist or not. Black Panther is a great one. Absolutely. Absolutely. John Wayne. Oh, now we're just naming people. All right. Anybody else? What are some of your favorite superheroes?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. Okay. All right. Here we go. We're just naming. All right. We're just going to go through the roll and name everybody, and we'll be good. All right. So we do. We have superheroes. Now, I was thinking back on mine, and my favorite has always been Batman. I know I've shared with this with you before, but I loved Batman because not that there's anything wrong with Spider-Man or Superman, but I didn't see myself getting bit by a nuclear spider, you know what I mean, for Spider-Man. I wasn't from another planet like Superman. I mean, sometimes I felt that way, but we all feel that way in our family of origin sometimes, right? But I loved Batman because he just got to be rich, quite honestly. No, but in all seriousness, his superpower was his trust fund, right? But he had this superpower. He had this desire. And what I loved about Batman was that one of the things that I couldn't resonate with Superman is that Superman was good all the time. And as a child, I was good like most of the time, right? My mom may watch online. She can comment on there and let you know, right? But growing up, we weren't perfect. It was hard to resonate with somebody that was perfect. It was hard to see ourselves reflected in something. Maybe it's more aspirational. We look at them, or maybe it's about the things that they get to do. It would be so cool to hang from buildings and fly around. It would be unbelievable to get to fly. We've probably all wished that we could fly at some point in time, right? But I resonated with Batman because not only was he a superhero in doing good, but he was also what I interpreted to be some of the most real. Some of his motives may not have been right, but he always tried to do the right thing. And sometimes he just didn't win. And I could resonate with that. And so throughout this series, we're going to begin looking through the Bible for superheroes. And where I'm trying to kind of posit for you today, because we all have favorite songs. I bet if I asked you your favorite song, you could tell me. Anybody, just a few of you. What are some of your favorite songs? How Great Thou Art. Church song. I like it, Larry. Good job. Yeah, sure. It could be church song, any song. Yeah. Victory in Jesus. Just as I am. What about your favorite book? What's your favorite book? Oh, yeah, what? Say it all at one time, right? That's good, I'm just teasing. Yeah, so maybe you have a favorite book. You have a favorite song. You might have a favorite place to vacation, whatever it is. We as people, we collect those favorites. And so I'm asking you to be thinking about, and you may already have your favorite character from the Bible, right? And so maybe it's a hero, maybe it's somebody who's not maybe in the category of hero, but I'm gonna ask you those two. What are some of your favorite characters from the Bible? Jacob, absolutely, wrestles with God. Ruth, absolutely.
Jonah.
Whew, that's an interesting one. We're gonna dig into that one. All right, I'm just kidding. Yeah, anybody else? Esther, absolutely. Saul, Paul. Yeah, that's yeah. David. Ooh, all right, brave. I like it. David is personally one of mine. My parents, I joked about this before, but in three names, my first, middle, and last name, Stephen, David, Sauls, they managed to give me four Bible names and three names, right? Because there's Stephen, who's so perfect and good, but then eventually gets stoned to death. And then there's David, who reminds me of Batman. He's got a lot of great qualities, but some not so good ones, right? And then there's two Saul, right? There's Saul from the Old Testament, who looks like he's supposed to be everything he's supposed to be, right? But then ultimately can't handle it. And then there's Saul, who goes around doing what we would think people of faith would be doing, but he was coming from a different faith angle, and then he ends up getting it changed, and he becomes Paul, who has the most words in the New Testament written, right? Yeah. Anybody else? Favorite character from the Bible?
Eli.
I like it. Nobody said Samson. All right. We'll have to scratch next week. I was going to wonder if you'd say Delilah. I was watching to see. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I want to encourage you this week. If you do what?
Your skull is so crooked.
It's so crooked? I can't help it. You know, some of them have this little fancy string in the back that connects to like a little nub, and I don't have one of those. Maybe that's what that's for. I just always thought it looked like more work. All right. It's hard enough to get this thing on with a microphone. But anyway, okay. All right. So what I want to encourage you is you may already have your favorite Bible character, but just like you have your favorite song, your favorite book, whatever it is, I want to ask you as we go throughout this series, I want you to start thinking about who your favorite character from the Bible is. And it doesn't mean that it's going to circumvent or be greater than any of the others or something like that. But I think that we can really resonate with Holy Scripture when we begin to find somebody that maybe reminds us a little bit of ourselves or is aspirational in the way that we want to be or has gone through something in their life in the same way that we've gone through something in our life or we're a moment where we find ourselves. Maybe your favorite character has grown over time or changed depending on your season of life and life circumstance. But I want you to be thinking throughout this series, who is it that is my favorite Bible character for this kind of stage of life that I'm in? And I want you to just kind of read about them. Whether that's reading, I want you to read in Scripture about their character and find the places they may be referenced, and you can find commentaries and other things and books about their life. We're going to do a study in David, getting ready, called Facing Our Giants in the Fall, as we get back together for church in the fall. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm already excited. But I want you to be thinking about who your favorite Bible character is. Now, the hero for us today is not going to be an individual, but the hero for us today on this day of Pentecost is the church throughout history. And we're going to specifically dive a little bit deeper into the early church and this specific day of Pentecost that is going on that we celebrate today. Now, I looked it up just to make sure. Does anybody know what Pentecost actually means, like the word? It means 50 days. 50 days. Did you say that? Way to go. Look at that. 50 days and 45 years. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. She's heard this one before, 45 times probably over the years. Yeah. So 50 days. It was a Jewish festival called the Festival of Weeks. There's a word I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try it that goes along with that. But it was 50 days after the second day of Passover was the original, right? And then we as the church, we have it as the 50th day after Easter. And here in Scripture in Acts 2, it just calls it the day of Pentecost, right? So we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. And if you want to follow along, you're welcome to. It'll be on the screens. But also, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to flip to that too. We're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to share these verses together and then come back and talk through them just a little bit. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, I want you to notice this. This is the early church. So I'm wanting us to take some lessons away from the early church, to take some lessons away from the coming of the Holy Spirit here at Pentecost, for us to apply to who we are today, looking at this first kind of understanding of who the early church was. They were all together in one place. What do you notice about that? Unity. They were all together. They were in one place. Yeah. Right? Which one, if you had to divide those two, they were all together and they were in one place. What do you think is more important, the place or that they were together? You're like, trick question. They were together, right? You see, we tend to think of the church as the physical structure that we have. And you know this, you've heard this a long time. But the church is the embodiment of the mission of God spread around the world by the people of God. We are the church. This first hero that we are going to talk about is the early church. The Holy Spirit coming down to be with them. The promise that Jesus Christ made to the church that he would be with us no matter what. When his physical body was absent, we didn't know what we were going to do. We were scared. We hid in upper rooms, right? Jesus had to walk through walls and show his pierced hands for us to believe that he was real and that what he said had come true and that he was resurrected and that we would get to experience that as well. And then we were given the Holy Spirit to help us to live forward. They were all together and in one place. I like that, and of course, we mean that physically, but like, were they all together and in one place emotionally? Like, in life circumstance, and in health, in their understanding of Jesus and God and everything that they held together? And then it says, suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind. Some interpretations say violent wind. Filled the entire house where they were sitting. So they were gathered in this house in one place together, and then there is this wind, but I want you to notice it's a violent wind. It's a brutal wind. It's a fierce wind. It's not like a Hawaiian breeze that makes you feel good about who you are, right? It's not being sun-kissed and enjoying the beautiful spring day. Did y'all see that viral video in Antarctica of the girl, the lady who worked there trying to close the door? Did y'all see that? She was getting sucked out into the storm in Antarctica because this is what the winds are like. And she was holding onto the doorknob and she was trying to close the door. And she was laughing because she lives there. And this is just how you close doors, apparently, in Antarctica. And as I saw that and was thinking about Pentecost, I wondered what kind of wind was more to my understanding, this beautiful spring or this rushing, fierce, violent, powerful, ruckus of a wind. And notice it doesn't hit the house. It didn't say it blew upon the house. It didn't say it huffed and it puffed and it nearly blew it down. It said it was in the house. It was with them. The way that Jesus passed through the walls and was with them in the house. The way that we understand the Spirit to not be on the outside necessarily, though it could be, but also on the inside. It was just magically, spiritually, emotionally, miraculously in the house with them. Sometimes we get wind like that at our house. And it's usually when we leave the garage and the basement door open, right? And we get a little bit of a draft, and it creates a vacuum. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. Now, this is the verse where if you read it in different translations, it can vary somewhat drastically. It talks about forked tongues that came in that were on fire in some way. It doesn't get descriptive. We don't know if the forked tongues were tongues of fire, like they were fire that looked like tongues, or if they were tongues that were on fire. But then it says that the tongues of fire go and land on them, and they're forked tongues. When I was growing up, forked tongue was a bad thing. Do y'all remember that? Did anybody ever say they speak with a forked tongue? Right? You never heard that before? Millennials and your avocado toast. You killed mayonnaise and Pentecost. All right. No, speaking with a forked tongue was like the snake. You said two things. You ever heard speaking out of two sides of your mouth? Similar. You say one thing one way and one thing, it meant deceitful. Now, that's not what we believe is going on here, but it's interesting that they would use this metaphor, this understanding, this way of thinking about the Spirit coming into their life to be this forked tongue. There was a Roman coin at the time that had Caesar on it, and on top of Caesar's head was a forked tongue on fire, and it symbolized royalty and that he was God, right? And so on Pentecost, we have the Spirit come down to be with the people, to ignite the church, to get it moving forward, to unify it, to bring it together, to give it power and the Spirit. And it comes down to remind us of a lot of different ways that we can understand this. Number four says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So now it's not just on the outside, now it's also on the inside. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this, listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Right? Check your tailgates, 9 a.m. All right. There's a lot going on here. I read through this and I think about the wind that comes into the house and moves them and how terrifying that must have been. I can only imagine it's like a storm coming upon them. And then there's these tongues of fire or these fire that comes down and the lights on them. And I guess they got to be worried. Am I on fire? Like, what is happening? Is it touching me? What is it doing? And then they begin to speak about the wonderful things that God is doing. It said they're speaking about the powerful works of God, the mighty works of God. They're sharing this, but they're not sharing it in a language they know. They're sharing in a language they've never spoken, as far as we know. And not only are they sharing it in another language, they're sharing it in such a way that the natives of that place will understand it. It's amazing. It's strange. It's unifying. It includes people that are there from everywhere that you can think of. It says under every nation under heaven. It's saying everybody, all of us, all y'all are gathered here and our understanding. Now, we have this weird relationship with unity and openness. And I do feel like it's gotten worse over the last years, but we say that about almost everything. Everybody suffered things like this culturally throughout time. Because you see, unity is usually exclusive, not inclusive. Because we faction down to the smallest point so that we can all agree and be unified. Sometimes it's our nuclear family in our household. Sometimes it's our more extended family. Sometimes we cut people out of that when ideologically or behavior or whatever it is doesn't agree with us, and we make it exclusive, our unity. We begin to open that up to our nations, to our friend groups, whatever it may be, right? We tend to make unity exclusive. So it's weird to see that the power of God given to the church is to make unity for everybody, right? And when we begin to think about open, we think about relativism and just being plural. It's just letting anything go, but I don't think that's what's happening either. They're speaking to everyone, but they're telling them about the mighty acts of God. They're not saying, "Think whatever you want." It's like, listen to who God is. I want to tell you in such a way that you can hear it. You know, we hear things or we see videos circulated on social media and we say, "Hey, you're in my country, you better speak my language." But Pentecost and the church say the opposite. "You're in my country, I'm going to speak your language." And not just my, not "donde está el baño," but in a way that is like your native language. The way that you understood the world in the first communications that you ever had. We have that, right? The way that we were raised and when we started communicating, those words, they're not just words that create meanings. They're words that resonate with our soul and take us to a place in time. They remind us of the people who said them. They remind us of the ways that we're unified. Now, sometimes there are hurtful words in our native tongues that remind us that we weren't welcome or to be a part of those groups. And they are speaking to them in their native languages. When you're in my neck of the woods, you better act like us. When you're in my church, you better conform and act like us. We usually make unity exclusive. But God's first act of spirit for the church was to speak to the world in such a way that it could listen. God's first act as spirit with the church was to speak to the world in such a way that the world could listen. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Have you ever been in a room with people that are different from you and tried to communicate? Anybody in sales is like, yeah. It's tough. It's hard. You got to be careful what you say, and you got to be careful what you hear. You got to be careful how you communicate non-verbally. You got to be careful of the experiences of people before that you don't even know about. You got to be careful of your own biases and ways of being that you may not even know about. But God's first act of spirit turned the church into a group that spoke the native languages of the people who needed to hear it. That is a powerful witness. You see, sometimes the church says, we're going to speak our own language and you're going to learn it. It'll be fine. Come join us. Right? Sometimes the church says, we're going to be exclusive and in this one place and you can be like us if you want to come be like us. And sometimes we don't mean it that way. Sometimes it's just heard that way, even though we're not trying to communicate that. But here at Pentecost, God unifies the church through the mission of speaking to people so that they might hear. Verses 7 and 8 say, they heard them speaking in their native languages. Well, that was verse 6. 7 says, they were surprised and amazed, saying, look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans, aka they shouldn't know our language? How then can each of us hear them speaking to us in our native language? They were surprised and amazed that people could speak it. The question for the church today is, how does the Spirit continue to speak through us so that other people can hear it? How does the Spirit continue to speak through you so that other people can hear it? When we're thinking about our favorite Bible characters, I think about them, and the ones that I find that I resonate with the most is because something about their life or their words or their journey resonates with me, and it speaks to me in a way that I hear it more so than when I read about others. When I think about the superheroes out there in the Marvel universe or whatever we're talking about, the one that I resonate with the most is the one who I feel like it makes sense, right? I understand what they're going to. I feel like they resonate with who I am, and who I am resonates with who they are. And here at this day of Pentecost, the church is speaking to people in a way that they can hear. How do we continue to do that? What does it look like? Because that is counter-cultural. Right now, it tells us to speak with insider language and only align with the people who agree with everything that we agree with. What does it look like to speak with the truth of God about the wonderful and mighty acts that God has done, but in a way that people can hear in their own native language? How is the Spirit continuing to speak through us? Let us pray. Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, we have much to celebrate and much to be challenged for. Lord, we want to continue to tell of your miraculous works around the world, the things that have happened in our life, the life of people throughout Scripture, in history, the life of our family. But Lord, we also want to follow the guidance of your Spirit and speak in such a way that those who are far from you hear it in their own native language. Lord, give us that wisdom, that courage, that understanding. Help us to understand what that means as a church, but as individuals, what does it look like to continue to be the church, heroically living your word through your spirit on Pentecost? It ignited our church. It ignited our mission that we continue today. Help us to continue being that church. In your son's name we pray. Amen.